everybody, and welcome back to Christmas Clatter. I have a wonderful episode for you. We're going to tackle a topic that I wasn't planning on it till some news broke about a week or so. And we got to continue our series on Christmas on purpose as well. A few housekeeping things. For those that know or don't know, we still have the Christmas planner, official Christmas Clatter Christmas planner. It's on sale on Amazon right now. If you go to christmasclatter.live/planner, then you will be able to, that link will take you straight there. And it's a great way to support the channel if you're into using, you know, a Christmas planner and that kind of thing. So I know several people have taken me up on the offer, and that's so humbling to hear. So again, that's christmasclatter.live/planner if you're into that. And as far as other housekeeping and announcements, that's all I have for right now. We will be starting to have guests here in a few more weeks, with Christmas Clatter taking a break for the first part of this year. I just kind of wanted to be myself for a few episodes to kind of set the pace and the tone for it, to kind of get my feet back under me before I started bringing people along and talking all the wonderful things about Christmas. So let's get into the topic that is on everybody's mind. Who is the Christmas Queen? For those that don't know, Mariah Carey filed paperwork to trademark the phrase the Queen of Christmas, along with some other terms such as Christmas Queen, the Princess of Christmas, Christmas Princess. I think there's a few others. It's like this whole royalty of Christmas thing. And then so she filed the trademark, all that. And then a artist, Elizabeth Chan, who is an exclusively a Christmas artist. She doesn't release any music but Christmas music. I think she has like 6 or 7 albums, including an album titled The Queen of Christmas. And on all, you know, any kind of press she's done on Good Morning America and things like this, at different times, she has been labeled the Queen of Christmas, you know, before this trademark was registered. So her and her attorney had filed paperwork to stop that from being trademarked, saying that if it's trademarked and she can't use it, then that will hurt her business. And then Miss Darlene Love stepped in and was like, well, maybe I need to get in on this, because she's like, you know, back before Mariah Carey's Christmas album was even released, she was on David Letterman every Christmas singing Christmas Baby Please Come Home. And you know, David Letterman, I think, referred to her multiple times as the Queen of Christmas. You know, so you have these three women making this claim for the Queen of Christmas. Mariah Carey's up to something, because if you paid attention over the past few years, she's came out with like the cartoon and the children's book and like all this Christmas merchandise that's, you know, lettered with her special Mariah M font, you know. And so she's like building this Christmas empire of merchandise and of things. In fact, last year, Loot Crate did a Mariah Carey Christmas box, which I got, and I was going to review it, but I didn't review it because it was so disappointing. It was so disappointing. It's like just like an oven mitt. I think the coolest thing in there was this like candy cane striped string. You know, I can't even remember what, besides the oven mitt and the string, I can't even remember what else was in there, to tell you the truth. And I didn't want to get on here and just like trash the thing. I have a problem. If I don't like something, I have a hard time bringing it to people and just trashing it. So I just didn't review it. I was like, this is really disappointing. You know, and But I noticed, I saw doing some research for this, you know, she was, Mariah Carey was being interviewed by Entertainment Tonight, and she was like at this perfect Christmas scene, and she had all these Mariah Carey labeled Christmas pillows and stuff. So she's trying to build this Christmas merchandise, Christmas empire thing. So I think that's why she's trying to label the, you know, get these trademarks for these labels. We have that going on. And I said years ago, before any of this, Mariah Carey is going to be like Andy Williams. Andy Williams was in it. Well, he was, rest in peace, very, very popular through the 60s, you know, late 50s, early 60s. You know, he only had three other people ahead of him that had more gold records. You know, he sold more records than anybody. And, you know, fast forward 40, 50 years later, we know Andy Williams for Christmas music. And that is the path of, you know, Mariah Carey's career as of now. You know, she was through the 90s. She was very, very popular, you know, with her pop songs. And fast forward to now, and people only know her for Christmas music. You know, you may be able to name a few of her other songs, but she's known for Christmas music. So I think she's just going to kind of like double down on that at this point in her career, you know, and turn around and you know, see what she can do with it, because she makes so much money from All I Want for Christmas Is You. And I guess you just got to do what you got to do, you know. And then you have someone like Elizabeth Chan, who is, she's on Merry and Bright. Is it Merry and Bright recording or something? I couldn't really find much on it. It's almost like it's an independent kind of thing. She does, you know, all her own stuff, and she gets, you know, makes a lot of her money from like licensing deals for movies and that kind of thing. And, you know, she's like so committed to Christmas because it's a deep, passionate love. So I could see we're taking, you know, a title like that. And then you got Darlene Love, who's kind of like the godmother of Christmas music. Album cover behind me there next to Dolly, A Christmas Gift for You. She's what makes that album, you know, special. She is. There's no question about it. She's on a few of the songs, and she is what makes that album special. And, you know, she was in, you know, with Phil Spector out in LA, you know, with the Wrecking Crew, cutting music. Of course, Phil's not a nice guy. She recorded a lot of songs, and then they would slap other people's names on them, like the Ronettes and things like that. And she wouldn't get the credit. She wouldn't get the pay. You know, and she has this wonderful story how she just like quit. She just quit. She's like, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not being treated like this anymore. And she just quit. And it was like the early 80s or so. And she's cleaning houses. She's, you know, this lady with this wonderful voice. And she's, you know, got treated so bad, she just walked. And she's cleaning houses. And it's around the holiday season. And she hears herself on the radio singing, Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home. And she's like, that's me. That's me singing that song. And that's, at that moment, cleaning that house, hearing herself sing Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home, it kind of lit a fire up under her again. And then she, you know, had a nice revival of her career. She ended up, you know, getting a small movie role as Danny Glover's wife and Lethal Weapon. And, you know, David Letterman really helped, you know, revitalize her, you know, career too. And she, you know, would make a nice living, especially touring around the holidays and singing. And if you haven't seen the documentary 20 Feet from Stardom, I think it was on Netflix, it may be on Hulu now, please check that out. That she's featured quite a bit in that, and it's a wonderful documentary to watch. I believe it even won Academy Award for Best Documentary. So I looked into like titles like The King of Rock and Roll and The King of Pop. And those are trademarked. The King of Pop is trademarked by so many different people for so many different reasons. Trademarks are hard to figure out, especially you're just somebody like me that just like popped into the website and trying to figure it out. I know the King of Rock is trademarked by whoever owns Elvis Presley's rights for everything. The King of Pop, I could not find anything that directly tied to Michael Jackson, but there were so many different listings for so many different things, because when you trademark something, you can be specific for what it's for. You know, I saw some people that referred to, you know, before Elvis was referred to as the King of Rock, that it was Chuck Berry that was referred to as the King of Rock. So it's tough. I always assume that those labels before all this, I just always assume those labels were just kind of given by the general public, you know, because, you know, you had Ray Charles as the Father of Soul and Sam Cooke as the King of Soul and you know, George Clinton as, you know, the Father of Funk. So I just always thought that those things were just given because of their place in history. And I realize, you know, for marketing reasons and to protect your brand, I guess trademarks are necessary. So that's just kind of like, would just like deflated my balloon quite a bit to see that those, you know, those things are trademarked. But the Queen of Christmas, I don't know, it just touches a base with me. I mean, Mariah's song is big and she's really known for that, you know. But is it enough? I mean, is it enough? I'm going to scroll back here for those listening to just the podcast. We have we're doing this live and we have some people that are commenting here and giving their feedback. And I've seen this from Ben a few times. She's a Christmas hack. I get a, you know, I'm no Sherlock Holmes, but I'm getting a sneaky suspicion that Ben is not a big Mariah Carey fan. I don't know. I just, I might have to see a little bit more evidence on that and see what goes on. So, yeah, but, and Harney, yeah, Lucy. Yeah. Someone commented on Facebook said something about Lucy and someone replied, she's like, yeah, she'll give you five reasons why she is the Queen of Christmas there. So, hey, Russ, thanks for hopping in here, buddy. I appreciate it. So, yes, everybody, please hit that like button. It really helps out a lot. So, yeah. Sean, yeah, to trademark, you need to show that you are using it. I believe you're right. And you can't trademark it if it's going to hurt someone else's. And that reminds me, Sean, let me go back to your original comment here. Is there a female equivalent to Bing, Frank, Elvis, Nat King Cole, right? Does rise to one of those levels, possibly, but she's only got a couple of Christmas albums. Yeah, I mean, that's true, but she's got a couple. I mean, Elvis has a couple too, but some of them are just rehashes. And I want to say Nat King Cole has one. I could be wrong on that, but I think he just has one, you know. And anybody that would know off the top of your head, let me know there. You know, it's tough because, you know, someone like Nat King Cole, if there's so many different songs he does, and Bing and Frank and Elvis, we don't hear too much anymore for Christmas, unless it's Blue Christmas, but he does, you know, that is a special time of Christmas music, the 50s, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s. But I think Mariah Carey does rise to that level. I think she's kind of a, I hate to say it, Ben, but I think she's kind of a modern classic. It's kind of hard to say because 1994 has been almost 30 years ago now. So yeah. So Hey, Cameron, thanks for hopping in here, man. I appreciate it. But let me go back down here and see what I... Yeah. Yeah, Sean. Yeah, she's known for one song on the album. But here's the thing, and I will say this and debate anybody on it. Got the album behind me. Merry Christmas, 1994. She is known for All I Want for Christmas You. That's the song that has completely taken over. But that album from the beginning to the end is impeccable. It is one of the best Christmas albums from the first song to the last song, and it doesn't slow down or drop out or have a weak song in the whole thing. The whole album is incredible. It's just that one song has gotten, it was like on a rocket ship, you know, it just went bigger than anything else, and which overshadowed the greatness of that album from start to finish. That's why, to me, she does rise to that level of a Bing or a Frank, because that Christmas album is so good, you know, from start to finish. Otley says, I like Mariah Carey, but I don't see her as a Christmas queen. What even is a Christmas queen? Is there a Christmas king? No, I agree. You know, just it's kind of like, just let it be. Let people pick their own personal Christmas, you know, because you could probably make an argument that, like, here in a few years, Kelly Clarkson could fill that spot. She's got a few Christmas albums and some great Christmas songs and does Christmas specials and loves Christmas, you know, quite a bit, you know, so you can make that, you know, that case. You get to make a case. Amy Grant has three Christmas albums and they're all like incredibly good. She's not as known for them as some of the other ones, but, you know, as far as someone that has multiple Christmas albums, it's hard to make one good Christmas album, but much less three good Christmas albums. So, Chris. Yeah, great doc. 20 Feet from Stardom is excellent. Excellent documentary if you haven't seen it. So, yeah. Hey, Jessica, thanks for hopping in here. King of Country is George Strait. No questions asked. Excellent Christmas album. Christmas Cookies is one of my favorite Christmas songs that he does. And, nobody's going to fight you over George Strait. He is a legend. So, yeah, that's an interesting point. Christmas does embody so much more than music. So what would say the Cameron Bure or Candace Cameron Bure would come and be like, hey, I'm the queen of Christmas Hallmark movies. And has a point. You know, she's kind of like the, you know, flagship actress that they have, you know, and, or, you know, say Lacey Chabert or someone, they could come and say, I'm the queen of Christmas because of the Hallmark movie thing. So that's a possibility. That's a real good possibility. So I'm assuming this is for Bing Crosby, or not Bing Crosby, Nat King Cole's one Christmas album. So thanks, Ben. I appreciate it. So still getting the feeling that Ben is not a Mariah Carey fan. If I see a little bit more evidence on this, I might be able to draw a conclusion. And for those that just listening, Ben from Pepper Tree Villa is just filling up the chat with, she's a hack. So I'm growing a little bit suspicious on his love for Mariah Carey here. So Sean says, I love how you have Dolly Parton. Mariah Carey, maybe she's true Christmas queen. You know, I thought about that when I put them albums up there a little bit ago. I'm like, I was going to put Mariah Carey on the top corner. And I thought, well, people might think if I put her up there, then I'll put her. I just kind of arranged them to where they look better in the color, you know, color wise and things. So, but, yeah, it's hard. I think, I don't think Mariah Carey is trademarking the Queen of Christmas because she wants the title as an artist. I really believe she is trademarking these things to do something else with them as far as products or far as a book or possibly like a movie script kind of thing. That's why I think she's doing it. I don't think she's doing it for her musical career. So Johnny says, Todd, we're the kings of Christmas. We make it happen. That's true. For those that don't know, me and Johnny are both letter carriers for the Postal Service. So yes, sir, we are the kings of Christmas. So, but it's interesting. But I think Mariah Carey has some other point, and I have a feeling they'll work it out. Someone said something about Mariah Carey's lawyers will try to outspend Elizabeth Chan's lawyers. However, Elizabeth Chan's lawyer is doing this pro bono, you know, so it's not costing her anything, but still to go up against a lawyer team like Mariah Carey could happen. I'm sure she'll be able to get it done, what she wants done. But hopefully it's done in a way that the other artists that use that title and refer to themselves as that title are not harmed. You know what I mean? Especially like someone like Elizabeth Chan, although her album is out now, Queen of Christmas. And so, you know, it won't be subject to the trademark. Anything future with that, you know, it gets sticky. And just don't want that, especially around Christmas. Hey, Ken. So, hope you're doing well, buddy. This one's for you, Ken. Take care of yourself. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Okay, bub. Yeah, Sean, Amy Grant, her first Christmas album is really good. And she has two more. And they're both really good. Tennessee Christmas is really underrated. And I can't think of the other one, but I remember that they're all spectacular, which is hard to do. So, but like I said, in conclusion, the Queen of Christmas, you're not going to figure it out. You're just not. And, you know, because there's just so many people that love Christmas and have their own thoughts and opinions. So it's hard to think. Let's do it. Top selling Christmas albums. Listen, only two women on the list: Mariah Carey and Celine Dion. Yeah, Celine's a good album too. So it's hard, you know. And what's the words I'm looking for? It's just everybody has their own tastes and kind of own, you know, personalities mixed. This fourth album that I haven't mentioned up here, The Dark One. I have it, not a fan, but it's a classic Christmas album. I respect it, you know, and because it's so popular, you know, it came out in 1968, I believe. So, The Queen of Christmas will be something debated. Maybe we need to talk about here in a few weeks, the King of Christmas. Who would be the King of Christmas? You know, is it Bing? Is it Frank? Nat? Andy? Buble? Who would be the King of Christmas? That would be an interesting discussion for another day. Let's talk about our continuing series, Christmas on Purpose. We've talked about making a list, you know, getting our goals written down, the list of stuff we need to do, and that kind of thing, just kind of setting the guidelines. And so this week, this Christmas on Purpose is a blog series I did a couple years ago, and bringing it here, it's seven parts. I'm not doing seven parts. I'll probably do this one. And next week, I'm going to try to finish it up next week to move on. And, but we'll see how it goes. But this one here, we got some things we can take care of, and I kind of combined a couple things together. So the Christmas on Purpose, we made the list. We got the things we need to do, the things we want to do, how to get there. And now we need to act on those. And, but there's a couple of things we need to do to make that a little easier. But, what we need to do first is do some decluttering, you know, of our space and of our time. You know, I always have this picture of making Christmas cookies and pulling the cookies out of the oven and taking them to the counter. And then there's like that stack of mail there. Everybody's got that place on their counter where the stack of mail is. It's like, dang it. Where am I going to sit these cookies down at? Stack of mail's there. You know, got company coming over, and I have, you know, shoes in the living room, or got this closet that needs cleaned out. You know, just take some time, go through the house, you know, right now, you know, before things get busy, and start decluttering things, you know, get those things out of the way, get rid of some stuff, you know, find some space to get organized. Because here's the thing, especially when you have kids, and even when you don't have kids, around the holidays, a lot of stuff gets brought into the house. You know, you get gifts. You buy gifts, and you have to have a place to put them, you know, and hide them. People buy you stuff, and you want to set it out, but you need to make room for the stuff that's getting ready to come in. So some of the stuff that can go needs to go right now. You know, this kind of, you know, you when you go out to the garage and you clean out the garage, that's that sense at the end of it, you're like, ah, yes, cleaned out the garage. You know, we kind of need to get that with our spaces, with our closets, with our rooms, with our, mail and, mail on the corner of the counter. So just take some time, you know, and kind of walk through the house and just start purging all that stuff. Because when that stuff's in a place, when everything has a home, your mind just kind of gets at ease. And plus two, if you like go through your pantry, then you know what you have, what you don't have. So when you go buy ingredients for all your cooking, then you know what you have, what you don't have. So then, you know, you're not buying twice, you know, save a little money that way. Just kind of get everything in your house organized. And I'm not talking like, you know, spark joy, clean everything out. You guys, just some sensible, let's kind of fix this stuff a little bit and kind of get prepared, you know. That way, when company comes over, you're not like, oh, man, I wish they would have gave me about 3 hours. You know, it's cool. It's cool. It just kind of relaxes yourself, helps, you know, get yourself in order, your space in order. Anybody ever watch that show, Clean House? Came on, I guess, probably 10 years ago or so. And that, that lady on there always said, you know, that the house is always an outward, expression of an inward emotion, you know, just kind of keep things organized and tidy. It just helps for when you do the other holiday things, it gets that one thing off your plate. And the other thing is kind of declutter your mind and your time. And the easiest way to declutter your time and your mind is to really pay attention to how much you're on social media. I know social media is a big deal in everybody's life, but around the holidays, you know, especially you want to stay in touch with people, but just do it in a fashion that doesn't become a time suck. How many times have you grabbed your phone and before you know it, more time has passed than you wanted it? And so now you're running late and trying to make it up, you know, you're just kind of cruising along, and, or you grab your phone and something upsets you or something kind of irks you, or you kind of get a little sad about something, or maybe a little bit envious about something. And before you know it, they're just kind of like a poison pill kind of thing, you know, just, I know we all need social media for, especially around the holidays, to communicate with the friends and family that we won't be seeing in person, and that is perfectly fine, but manage that and budget that time so it doesn't become a time suck on you. It doesn't, you know, become this black hole that you just kind of fall into, and before you know it, you're running behind and you're in a bad mood kind of thing, you know. So on this week, for being, you know, prepared for Christmas or Christmas on purpose, just make sure we're decluttering our spaces, decluttering our mind by kind of focusing on what's in front of us, you know, and decluttering our time by making sure we're not doing things that are just, you know, an absolute, keep wanting to say the phrase time suck, but something that just keeps kind of, you know, pulling, making us lose more time than we're willing to give. So with that in mind, make sure you're making your list, keeping your goals in front of you. You know, start working, you know, it's just the end of August here, and this time next week, last day of August. So the end of next week will be September. It's time to start doing that stuff. We have plenty, you know, if you wait till October, the days roll too fast, you know, so it's time to start doing it now. I want to thank everybody for joining me here on Christmas Clatter. Christmas Clatter is a Very Merry Media production. And remember, keep Christmas hope alive every day.